And I'm happy about that. I thank the Lord for how faithful He's been to me. And I'm saved not because, you've heard me say it before, I don't get tired of saying it, I hope you don't get tired of hearing me say it. I'm saved not because I'm being forced to do it. I'm saved because His love for me compels me. And of course, I look at my life, at what it could be, and I'm very satisfied with where the Lord has us. And I believe what the Lord wants all of us to be is satisfied with where He has us, and to realize that if we're serving Him, things can only get better. I know that we're going to go through valleys like the sister sang about today. We're going to go through valleys. We're going to have some hard times. And I don't believe that there's anybody here that doesn't have hard times, whether you're saved or unsaved. You're going to have some hard places. You're going to go through some valleys. But the beneficial thing about those that know the Lord and have a close relationship with the Lord is the Lord goes through those valleys with you. As a matter of fact, He's already gone through them, and He just leads us the easiest way that we could possibly get there. I believe that all of us that go to heaven, if we follow the Lord in the way that the Lord would have us to, I believe all of us to get there the easiest way possible for us individually. May the Lord help us. I want us to turn to John, the 4th chapter. I want to start reading at about the 23rd verse. If you have it, you can read it for us.
The hour?
Yes. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. As we come together on a Sunday morning like this, and every time that we meet out together, and not just when we meet out in a setting like this, but when we're at home, when we're in a state of worship, we're serving the Lord, we're worshiping the Lord, there is a certain way, a certain atmosphere that the Lord has an expectation that we're going to, that for us to worship. And one of the things that He says is that they must worship Him in spirit. Now what that means is that man is a spirit, that we're made a part of our being is a spirit, we're spiritual beings, and the Lord does not want us to worship Him in the flesh. And what I mean by that, I realize we are in the flesh, but we don't worship Him with the flesh. We worship Him in the spirit. So it's not that I can bring anything to the Lord of my flesh. My flesh must be crucified. As we look into the Word of God and we see how we preach Christ and we preach Him crucified, our responsibility is not only that Christ is preached and He's crucified, but the responsibility is that I have a cross as well. And my cross, I must die on it daily. It's, Scripture says very plainly that if any man would follow after me, if he doesn't take up his cross and follow after me, he's not worthy of me. So there is a death that this flesh has to take. There is a death that this flesh has to go through in order for me to truly worship God in spirit. Now, what that means is that there are I'm worshiping Him as we sing the songs, as we pray to the Lord, as we give Him praise. It is with my tongue. It is with our lips. It is with our hands and whatnot. But ultimately, that is just the way that we express it. What God really wants is what's of the heart. It is the spiritual worship that goes down into the very depths of our heart. That's what the Lord is seeking for. Now, another thing that comes to my mind is that we are in this is a Sunday morning, and there are a lot of people in a lot of places that are worshiping the Lord, but they're not worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And one thing that I am interested in when I begin to read these scriptures and I dig into truth, and I understand that we really do, saints of God, we have the truth. We have what is spiritual reality. And that's really what we're talking about. When we say truth, we're talking about what is spiritual reality. It's not just something that we have coined a phrase, and it is something that we, with semantics, we're able to express to you that the doctrine that the church teaches, that's not just what it is. It is spiritual reality. When we look into the Word of God and we understand the Word of God is reality. It's fact. It's what really exists. This is why you and I, when we're going through trials and tests, we can stand on the Word of God, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the valley looks like, no matter, as we sang the song number 79, it said, though storms sweep o'er my trembling bark, and waves around me swell. What is that? How does it go? Still this, my ransomed soul shall sing, to swell with me. Why can you say that? Oh, I'm looking all around me and the waves are beating up on me and I'm going through some very difficult places and it seems like I can't hardly put one foot in another, but I know that it's going to be well with me. How do I know that? I know that because the Word of God is reality. And when God has given me a scripture, when God has given me His Word to stand on, and I'm going through my trials, and I'm going through the tests of life, I can read the Word of God, and I can worship Him in spirit and in truth, and I can know of a certainty, Lord, You're going to take me through this, not because of what's going on around me, but because Your Word is reality. Your Word is truth. What I'm going through, what You say in Your Word is more real than the experiences that I'm having around me. That if I can get a hold of it, and I can trust in You, and I can depend on You, whatever is all these, this dark, gloomy, the things that are around me, Lord, when I get a hold of Your Word, and Your Word says that if I can believe, all things are possible to them that believe it, and I can hold on to that Word, then that's the reality of worshiping God. The reality is I can stand on that. The reality is that's what's true. That's what's right. It doesn't matter how I feel around. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. That's not the reality. The reality is I'm standing on the Word of God. And let me tell you what can happen. Let me tell you what will happen. What will happen is the Lord will take the very thing that seems to harm us and He'll turn it around and He'll make it for our good. The things that seem like I don't know if I can put one foot in front of the other, those are the very things that strengthen us to go forward and to keep going. All of us have been through some difficult places, haven't we? All of us have been through some times that it seems like it's just too, it seems like the things that we're going through almost is too much. And Lord, why are You allowing these things to happen to me? But then have the Lord ever given you a scripture? The Lord ever given you a part of His Word that encourages you and lets you know that He's going to take you through? He's going to take you through. And you know, we can stand on it. I believe that if we had everybody to stand up and give a testimony today, I want you to think about it. Even as we're preaching here today, I want you to think about something that the Lord gave you a scripture on and the Lord saw you through. It seemed like there was not going to be any way that you can get through that. It seemed like that was the most difficult place that you've ever been through in your life, and the Lord gave you a portion of His Word. Do you know what you're standing on when you stand on the Word of God? Do you know what you have when you have the Spirit of God in your heart and life and it's leading and guiding you? Do you know what you have? You have the very thing that spoke the world into creation. The Word was there. It spoke the world into creation. It spoke reality. It spoke what we see as real. And this same Word that we have here, this same Word, we can get through any trial. You know, the Lord can create whatever the solution is that you need for whatever you're going through. The Lord can create that. Thank the Lord for that. All right, so He says here, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Now, we've dealt with this particular subject before, and it speaks about how there is a reality of worshiping the Lord. There is a reality that God has for His people that He wants us to understand, that there is a distinction that He has between those that worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, in His reality. And one of the things that I believe that is being challenged in today's day and time, there is a challenge that's coming against us that there is not this thing called truth. There's not this thing called that when we stand on the Word of God, that what you say is truth is not necessarily true. It may be true for you, but it's not necessarily true for me. Have you ever had somebody to say that? Have you realized that this is the kind of situation that we're going through? This is the kind of atmosphere that we live in our generation today, that folks don't want to accept that there is this absolute way that God would have you to live your life. And the way that He would have you to live your life, do you suppose that God would have every person to live like He would have you to live? All right? You believe that the Lord would have you to, what you say, I heard a no. Why do you say no? All right, hold on. Let's talk about this for a moment. You're true worshipers. How are you worshiping the Lord? Maybe the Lord at this particular time in your life would not have everybody to do exactly everything that you're doing because they have a different level of understanding. All right? So a person that has a different level of understanding, the Lord is requiring you to live to your level of understanding. What he has revealed to you, what he has made known to you, that's where you're to live. And that is what God requires of every person in the world. But let me tell you, there is a consistency. There is not an inconsistency in the worship of God. There is a consistency in this regard that God requires every person that when they come to the understanding of what holiness is and what righteousness is, when they come to that level of understanding, that's where they're to live. That's where they're to endeavor, by the grace of God, I'm going to live where I understand that God requires me to live. When you come to the understanding that Jesus Christ died on a cross, His blood was shed for the remission of your sins, you no longer can live in your sins. You can't live there anymore. You've got to move out of that house. You've got to ask the Lord, Lord, I want you to clean me up. I want to be a different man. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I cannot continue to live in sin and worship the Lord. That's not reality. I cannot continue to smoke and drink and do whatever it is that folks do out in the world. I can't continue to do those things. And I have a clear understanding that I am defiling the temple of God, and I have that clarity of understanding, and I want to do it anyway. I can't worship the Lord and continue to do it no matter what I say. I might be the preacher. I'm using this in general, using myself in a general sense. They might be the preacher. They might be the choir leader. They might do whatever it is that they do, but you cannot worship, be a true worshiper of God and live in sin. Lord, help us. And why would you want to anyway? Let me tell you, you know why I got saved? I'll just tell you why I got saved. I got saved because there was something about sin that I did not enjoy. There was a bondage that I had when I was out there in the world, and I had the can't help it. I did things that I didn't want to do, and I ain't going to tell you what I did. And I don't want you to tell me what you did. And you wanted to be delivered from that. Lord, I want to be delivered from this. I don't want to go to bed at night and cry in my pillow because I know that I'm not living right and you're not pleased with my life. I want to be a true worshiper, Lord, and it's going to take you cleaning me from the inside out. And the Lord did that for me. And He'll do it for you. And He did it for a whole lot of folks that are sitting here and a whole lot of folks that you know, I want to live right. And so, therefore, the Lord is seeking true worshipers, those that have a desire in their heart to do right. I'm going to live for you, Lord, if it kills me. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I understand the importance for my own soul. Maybe it is a little bit selfish, but I don't want to go to hell. Maybe it is a little selfish, and I know it's not. But I want to go to heaven. I want to see what it's like to be with the Lord throughout all eternity. Therefore, whatever it takes to be a true worshiper of God, I'm willing to do that. Whatever it requires of me to give up this or give up that, Lord, I'm willing to do it. But let me tell you something about giving up stuff. You cannot do it in and of yourself. You just can't do it. I've heard of people saying, you know what? Well, when I get to this stage, then I'm going to give my heart to the Lord. You can't do that. Well, when I give up this, when I can stop smoking or drinking or laying around or whatever it is that folks do, when I can stop that, then I give my heart to the Lord. Let me tell you, give your heart to the Lord, and then He'll enable you to stop all those things. And let me tell you, even after you get saved, there are going to be some things about you. There are going to be some habits that you've had all your life. There are going to be some things that you didn't see anything wrong with at the initial start of it, and the Lord begins to deal with your heart and say, you see this, I want to tap you on the shoulder and say, this little area in your life, I want you to change that. You think you're this or you think you're that, and I don't want you to think that anymore because there's something that's not real about it. We live sometimes in la-la land, don't we? We can't see our own faults. We can't see the areas in our life that need to be changed. But let me tell you, you get in a close relationship with somebody and they'll start pointing them out to you. And they'll start telling you all the things that are wrong with you. And if you are living in the reality of God, the Lord wants you to look in the mirror. He wants you to see yourself. He wants you to behold yourself. Because let me tell you what we're very good at. We're very good at pointing fingers and pointing out everybody else's fault, but we don't want to see our own. But the Lord allows folks in our lives, and He allows us to, us in our church services. He allows preaching. He allows different ones on the job. He allows our husbands, wives, children, whoever it is. He allows us to come in contact with these individuals that they shine the light in a different way on what we're dealing with about ourselves. And then it is our responsibility to be honest with ourselves. And this is what happens with a lot of folks nowadays. They're not honest with themselves. It's so hard for me to change myself. I'm saying that general. It's hard for us to change ourselves, and it's much easier for us to want to change the person, somebody else. And so what we do, if we're not careful, we'll spend all of our time and energy in an argument to get them to change and just accept me the way that I am. Do you suppose the Lord wants to accept you the way that you are? Is God completely satisfied with the way that you are? Does God want you to change? Does God want you to look in the mirror and see that there are some things about you confessing your faults one to another? And what do? Pray one for another that we might be healed. So you know, rather than having these arguments, you know what we need to be doing? We need to be praying for the other party, because you see how hard it is for you to change. So pray for them and pray for yourself. This is what a true worshiper does. A true worshiper of God is honest with himself. He's honest with what, when the Lord shows him some, when there is a reflection in the mirror, or there is a reflection of God's word in their lives, then they're saying, Lord, by the grace of God, I'm going to put all these things in order that need to be put in order. I don't justify where I am. I don't try to get by because I don't want to make any adjustments. May the Lord help us to realize that it requires God making the change in us. And it requires us being honest with ourselves. Do you know what we find? What I find is that a lot of folks, this woman that Jesus is talking to at the well, He said, go bring me your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. He said, you've spoken well. He said, because you've had five husbands and the one that you have is not yours. So this woman saw that Jesus, she said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So you know what? Some folks would want to say, well, you know, yeah, he is my husband. And they want to have an argument with the Lord. Have you ever heard of people that actually argue with God? And trying to justify their position and trying to justify why I'm a true worshiper. We have it all. We have it today. I believe the churches are full of folks that are not true worshipers of God. Because these people are living in a way that they know God is not pleased with, and they're not trying to make any adjustment by asking the Lord, Lord, have mercy on me and change my life. Let me tell you why it's important for us to maintain what it is that we have an understanding of. It's important for us to maintain that because the way we live, saints, is right. It's true. Now, what folks will want to point their fingers at, well, you're this and you're that. But what we have to understand is, by the grace of God, I want to live as close to what I understand Jesus lived. I want to live as close to that as I possibly can. And there are going to be some times that I'm going to have to ask the Lord and seek the Lord. Lord, I need you to give me the grace that I need to be able to smile and mean it. Smile and not have any animosity down in my heart. Lord, I need you to remove that from me. And you know the Lord does that. That's what a true worshiper does. A true worshiper is not afraid of God shining the light on your life and letting you see yourself for the way the Lord sees you. Letting you see inside of you what God sees and what God wants to change. That's a person that's living in a reality, spiritual reality. All right? Let's go to Matthew 15, verse 7. Matthew 15, verse 7. Oh, my goodness. Now, what if you call somebody that you know, ye hypocrites? Now, this is the Lord. He's talking here, and he's pretty bold here. Ye hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. So in other words, here's a group of folks they praise. Let's get our praise on. You've heard folks say that. Let's get, and have you ever heard folks that are praising the Lord and you can't tell if the song is one that you can put at the nightclub or one you can put in on Sunday morning? You can't tell the difference. Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. It's a gospel song that you can do the latest dances to. You got that? And you know, let me tell you, I was in, when I went to college, the first year of college, you know, you go there, and I lived on campus and trying to experience the whole college life and everything that was going on and whatnot. And I decided I was going to join, I think maybe a friend of mine wanted me to join this gospel band, this gospel choir. And so I decided I was going to go, I went to a few practices and the folks that were singing the specials, the solos, and they were out in front of the people, and they really could sing. And the people that were playing the piano and people that were directing the choir, I know for a fact their lives were not clean, period. Their lives were not clean because I knew some of the stuff that they were doing. But they had this, and they were praising, I'm putting that in quotation, praising God. And do you suppose that stopped back then? Do you suppose that that's going on right here today, that there's somebody that's physically talented or musically talented in some kind of a way, but they're worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth? Do you suppose that they're not doing that? Lord, help us to know what the difference is. So he says here, ye hypocrites. These folks knew better than what they were doing. They knew they weren't living right. So if you're not living right, don't pretend to be pretending to be something that you're not. Saints, let me tell you, I don't want you to pretend to be something. I don't want you to be a hypocrite. The Lord don't want you to be a hypocrite. You don't want me to be one, do you? No, you don't want somebody preaching to you that you know is not living right. Lord, have mercy. And let me tell you, if somebody is preaching to you that you know is not living right, you're under no obligation to listen to them. Lord, help us. And you can generally tell that there is something that's not quite right, something that doesn't quite ring true to the trumpet. When there is individuals that are living right, their lives are lining up with the Word of God, you know that as well. You know that they are preaching in a reality, in a spiritual reality, that this is what God is requiring of them. But here are these folks. He says, listen, you hypocrites, you're pretending to be something that you're not. Do you know that that comes right among the people of God, that comes right among us? That there are folks that pretend to be saved when they know deep down in their heart that they're not. Now let me tell you something, saints. Our responsibility is not to judge them, is it? Judge people in general. It is the Word of God's responsibility to judge. But you know deep down in your heart whether or not you're living to the level of understanding that God requires of you. You have understanding. You have the grace of God available to you. You can live there by the grace of God. You can. But these folks weren't doing it. Jesus is talking to them. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouths and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So in other words, we can say all the praises and sing all the praises that we want to sing, but it's not about what comes out of our mouth. It's what comes out of our heart. We worship the Lord in spirit, in our spirit. So what comes out of my heart must be in a position, must be pure. It must be pure worship. Lord, I'm lifting up my voice to you. I'm praising you, and not just with my mouth, but with my very being, the life that I lived this past week. I don't just have to, get things right Sunday morning. Well, things were right since last Sunday morning. And the Sunday morning before that. And when there is something that the enemy imposes and there is something that the Lord touches in my life by the grace of God, you find us endeavoring by the grace of God to make certain that that's not there anymore. Lord, help us. That's a true worshiper. Worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. But he says here, but in vain do they worship me. In vain. So there is a worship that's a vain worship. So in other words, what does that mean? That means that you're worshiping, but the Lord is not smelling in your He's not luring his presence in our assembly. What does the scripture say? He says, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, he would be in the midst of us. And that is how we worship the Lord, because the Lord is here with us. His presence is here. His presence is right here in this building when the saints of God, those that are true worshipers of God, meet out. What does the Lord do? The Lord meets out with them. And let me tell you who else meets out. The devil will meet out with us as well. Lord, help us. But the Lord wants us to be true worshipers. He said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, teaching what men are saying. All right, John 17, 12. While I was with them in the world, Lord, and this is Jesus preaching, praying to the Father. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept them, Lord. None of them is lost. The son of perdition. The scripture might be fulfilled. Now I come to thee. These things I speak in the world. They might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them. Because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. But that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Isn't that wonderful that the Lord didn't say, I'm going to take you out of the world. I'm going to take you up into a convent. And you're not going to have any contact with the outside world. You're going to be a monk up in the mountains somewhere. That's not what he did, is it? He didn't say that we're going to be isolated from everybody that is in the world. And that way you won't be tainted or consumed by the things of the world. That's not what he said. He said, I'm leaving them in the world, but I'm praying, Father, and the Lord prayed for you. Do you realize that? That God, Jesus Christ himself, this is a prayer that we can go to when we're in the middle of a trial, when we're in the middle of a temptation that's strong, and when it seems like the world is drawing us in different directions. Then we can go to this prayer in the 17th chapter of John, and we can realize that not only did Mom and Daddy and all those saints before us pray for it, but Jesus prayed for me. They're not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. And this is what Jesus is praying for you. He prayed. And do you suppose that this prayer is still effective, just as effective? This prayer is just as effective today as it was when he prayed it? It's real. Thy word is truth. Thy word is reality. And so what do we do? When we have the problems and the trials and the tests of life, what do we endeavor to do? We go to the word of God. And that's the reality. That's spiritual reality. Lord, you said this in your word. You said that I would never face a trial that was more than what I could bear. You promised me that. And we can plead the cause of God. And we can plead these scriptures. And we can say, Lord, this is spiritual reality. This is what's real. It doesn't matter how strong the temptation seemed to be coming my way. It doesn't matter what everybody, what things are going on around me. Lord, reality is that you promised me that I'd get through it. And if I stand there, you know what? I will get through it. It's encouraging, isn't it? He said, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified in the truth. I don't just pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now he says here that I sanctify myself. He said, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth, through this spiritual reality. And let me say, I've said this before, but once there is what we understand as a second definite work of grace. And there is, once I have repented of my sins, once a person has repented of their sins, and they have asked the Lord, Lord, I ask you to, I repent of my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and live there, and I'm not going to, I turn away, I do a 180 degree turn, I turn my back to the world, I turn my back to sin, there's still another step that I need to go. And let me tell you, if you don't go that step, you won't be able to stand. I need the infilling of the Spirit of God. I need the power of the Spirit of God in my life. And how do I do that? I make a consecration. I dedicate my heart and life to the Lord. And I say, Lord, I am no longer mine. I belong to you. And I ask by faith that the Spirit of God comes in and literally possesses me. And when we do that, we have the power available to us that Jesus had available to him. We have the power to live a righteous and a holy life. That's truth. Don't let somebody tell you that you can't live a righteous and a holy life. You may not can live it on your own, but you can live it by the power and the grace of God. And so what you need to do when you have been justified and asked the Lord to forgive you your sins, you have one more step that you got to make. And that is, Lord, would you come in and fill me with your Spirit? And that's how the Scripture speaks when it says, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that the Lord's Spirit permeates my spirit and I am able to live, I'm able to resist temptations. As long as I yield to the Spirit of God, and when the Spirit of the Lord speaks to me and he says, don't do that, I have something available to me not to do it. That's been my experience. And it's been my experience that when folks don't ask the Lord to fulfill them, fill them with the Spirit of God, then it's just a matter of time before the enemy draws them back out into the world. Lord, help us. Just a matter of time. So he's seeking true worship. And a true worshiper will say, you know, Lord, I'm not satisfied with where I am. And do you know, do we ever get satisfied with where we are? Do we ever? We can live where the Lord wants us to live, and I think that's good. And I think that there is a level of satisfaction that at every state and point in my life, in your life, that you can say, the Lord is pleased with my life, but I want to go a little deeper. I want to go a little higher. I want to get a little closer. It seems like the Lord takes us to areas in our lives that we hit a plateau. Have you ever hit a plateau? I hit them all the time. Where the Lord says, this is not sufficient for you anymore. And there, and I have, I'm at a crossroads. We're at a crossroads at that time, aren't we? We're at crossroads and we say in our mind, Lord, you're not satisfied with me staying here. I'm satisfied with where you are, but I'm not satisfied with you staying there. This work of salvation, this worship of the Lord is a progressive thing. I should not be, you should not be the same place spiritually that you were last year. You should be further along. It may just be a few meters, a few inches, a few feet, whatever you may say, it may be that, but you should be further along than you are than you were last year. Don't keep going, falling and getting back up and falling and getting. You don't have to do that. And let me tell you, there are folks right here that have that testimony that they fail and got back up and fail and got back up and fail and got back up, and then they said, all right, I'm not going to fall anymore by the grace of God, and they didn't fall. The Lord did establish your going and put a new song in your mouth, even praising to God that you came to a conclusion that I don't have to go back anymore. I don't have to do that. I can worship the Lord the way the Lord wants me to worship Him, consistent on a consistent basis. I can do that by the grace of God. Every one of us can. Okay, let's go to excuse me, pray for me. let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter. Start reading the first verse. Brethren,
my heart's desire
and prayer to God for Israel is. Yes. Heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved.
For I bear them record
that
they have a zeal of
They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So it says here that being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, truth and reality is that as we worship, we have to worship according to God's righteousness, not our own. All right? So there's a scripture that speaks about our righteousnesses are what? As filthy rags. What do we use filthy rags for? Nothing. Nobody uses filthy rags for it. I don't know anything that anybody uses a filthy rag for. So he says that we can clean up, we can try to clean up something, but it doesn't work, does it? And so generally what happens is when people have in their own mind what their righteousness is and they have not submitted to the righteousness of God, it is something in generally in their lives that they don't want to submit to. There's something that they don't want to do. So he says here that these being ignorant of God's righteousness are going about to establish their own righteousness. So these folks can have the ability to establish their own righteousness. And this is what I see is happening in the world today. This is what I see that folks that are attacking the truth of God's word, they're establishing their own righteousness. They're coming in and they're establishing what they believe is right. This is right for me. And there is this, as we mentioned before, there is this strong battle against there being truth. And if we're not careful, we'll be a little bit afraid or ashamed of standing for what we know is right. And when we say to the folks that are around us, well, you know what, this is what I believe. This is what I believe is right. It's not what I believe is right. It's what's right. You understand the difference? This is right for me. No, it's not just right for me, but it's right for you. And what we have in our generation today is that folks want to say, you know what, Brother Darrell, Church of God, you folks can say, that's what's right for y'all. No, what I'm living by the grace of God is what's right and what God wants every other man, woman, boy, and girl to live, just like what we're living. According to the Scriptures. Yes. That what the Lord wants you and I to understand is, if the Church of God is not reading the Scriptures and living by the Scriptures, we don't need to be doing it. But if we're living by the Scriptures, it's what God wants everyone else to live by the help and the grace of God. Now, where the difference comes in, again, what we said earlier, where the difference comes in, every person has a level of understanding and a level of grace that God requires them to live to that place. But that doesn't mean that you're always going to be there, and that's where you stop. What God wants you to do is to come to a level of understanding that the closer I get to God, the more He reveals to me, the more He reveals to me, the more I submit to His will, the more I become what God wants me to be. Lord, help us. All right, so they go about to establish their own righteousness, and they haven't submitted to the righteousness of God. But when we submit to the righteousness of God, it's reality. It's truth. That's what we do. Lord, help us. Luke 18, verse 11. The Pharisee stood. Now this, we talked about hypocrites, folks that just knew they had their game face on, so to speak. This is a Pharisee, a person that's very willing to make certain sacrifices, but not willing to make their proper sacrifices. All right?
God,
I thank thee.
I thank thee. That I am not as other men are.
I'm not as other men are. I'm not an extortioner.
Unjust.
Adulterer. I'm not an adulterer.
Or even as this
I'm not even as this public. He's comparing himself with other folks. I'm glad I'm not like this. I'm glad you're not too. All right?
I fast twice a week.
I give tithes of all that I possess.
And the publican standing afar off
would not lift up so much his eyes into heaven, smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, who do you suppose was a true worshiper of God? Which one of these men? One of the men, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He prayed thus with himself. Do you know we can pray? Have you ever heard the saying that their prayer didn't go past the ceiling? You know, I've heard more folks nowadays in this generation, and not just in this generation, but in the last few years, the last 3 years or so, I've heard more people that are not saved praying as though they were. I've seen one person I had some contact. I said, that's the saddest sinner I have ever seen. And I'm in it. Every time you talk to them, they were talking about the Lord and what the Lord had done and how they were praying. And then in the same sentence, they were telling you that they know that they're not saved. Then you suppose that you're a true worshiper? You suppose God is hearing their prayer? No, God is being merciful to them. And sometimes God does things out of mercy, trying to win those folks to Him. But you know, you can't just walk over the mercy of God. And nowadays, it's just easy for somebody that's not saved to pray to God as though they are. Lord, help us. All right? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. So we got one that worshiped that said, I'm willing, I make all these sacrifices, I do all these things, I don't do this, I don't do that. And we can say to that man, well, that's good. That seemed like a pretty good fella. But God didn't see that. Jesus didn't see that. Everyone exalted himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. All right. All right. So we have to, part of a true worshiper is we have to be humble, don't we? For God resists the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. All right. We're moving toward our conclusion. Hebrews 13, verse 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that your heart be established with grace, not with meats. Okay, so it says it is, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. You know there's a lot of strange doctrines that are coming up and folks are listening to them. I was talking with somebody not too long ago and they were telling me how somebody, I know of somebody that once believed in the truth of God's word. They don't believe that you can live a holy life anymore. They believe that you can just about sin more or less every day and still get to heaven. That's not a true worshiper, is it? They believe once saved, always saved. That's not a true worshiper, is it? Lord, help us. It says, don't be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. It's good that your heart be established in what? In truth. In knowing what it is that you must do. Knowing what it is that God requires of each one of us. That's your job. That's your responsibility. My responsibility is to preach the truth. Yours is to make certain that that's what's preached to you is the truth. And so we have the same Bible. It is not that I have a monopoly on this Word of God. Every one of us have the Word of God available to us. And it's our responsibility to search it and know of a certainty whether or not what is being preached to us is truth. I want to encourage you that way. All right, one other scripture, two other scriptures. Ephesians 4 and 13, and then someone get us 2 Peter 1 and 12. Yes. Yes. Knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So it says here that henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro. You know, most of us are not easily duped when it comes to natural things. And we are quick to let somebody know, no, you're not going to pull the wool over my eyes on that one. You're not going to do that in the natural things. But do you know a lot of folks, those same people that are not going to let you pull the wool over their eyes in natural things will let folks pull the wool over their eyes in spiritual matters? Lord, help us. Now, I know that there's a spirit behind that. I know that the devil is there. But you know one of the first things that the scripture says, be not deceived. Don't be deceived. So it says here that henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. So what we want to do, by the grace of God, what we want to do as the ministers of God, as the saints of God, not just me, but all of us, when there is someone that, appears that the enemy has taken them off on a tangent, what do? We show them what the reality of the word is, don't we? And we speak the truth in love. We don't want to see them go in the wrong direction. So we speak, this is what reality is. And whether they can see it or not, we have to ask the Lord, they that have eyes to see, let them see it. Lord, open up their eyes that they can see it. And what we have to do is, Lord, keep my eyes open that I won't be blinded by the things that are going on around me. I want to be able to see what I need to see to be able to do what it is that you're requiring of me. I want to worship. I want to be a true worshiper, Lord. All right? 2 Peter 1:12 in closing. I won't be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though you know them. And be established in the present truth. Now, I say that. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. I know that sometimes what the Lord requires us to do is to tell you things that you already know. Encourage you in things that you already know. You say, I'm not going to be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though you be established in the present truth. You know what? In the present reality, the way that you're worshiping the Lord. Well, how do you know, Brother Darrell, that the way you're worshiping the Lord is truth? How do you know that it is a spiritual reality? How do you know that it's the way that you preach it, Brother Darrell, as opposed to the way they preach it at the church down the street? How do you know that? And what's my answer for that? My answer for that is that there is a personal, first of all, a personal revelation that the Lord has given me. Personal revelation. I got to know. I had a Damascus experience. I had an on-the-road-to-Damascus experience where, like Saul was going against the people of God. He didn't see how it could be the people of God until the Lord spoke to him in a personal revelation. Let me tell you, if you don't have that personal revelation, the way that we're standing nowadays, the reason you see folks trickling away that once believed the truth of God's word, the way that you see it, they're justifying and doing other things, is because they don't have a personal revelation of what the church is and what the truth is. And once you have a personal revelation, you know what you'll do? You'll stay here if there's only three of you, if there's only two of you. You'll stay. And not only a personal revelation, but let me tell you, you have a history. You have a history of people of God that have lived this way, and you know their lives. You were in when the door closed, they were in the room with you. They were in the house with you. They lived a certain way, and they lived according to what they preached on the outside. Lord, help us. And we saw that and we understood that. And we've seen that, yes, by the help and the grace of God, these people live a life. And they died and they went to heaven. And if they can do it by the grace of God, I can too. So that reality. And so what does the scripture say in, is it the 12th chapter of Romans? What do we have? We have this great cloud of witnesses. We have people that have witnessed to the revelation that the Lord has given me, that He gave it to me, and then He witnessed to somebody else. I saw witnesses of it. And I can stand on it, saints. By the help and the grace of God, we can stand on it. So, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in this present truth. Yes. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He started it, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. May the Lord help us that we would know the truth. We know it of a certainty. There's no question in our mind. And that we would stand by what the Lord has revealed to us. Pray for me.